Hare Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shumate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Jinamane Namaste Sarasati Deve Gauravani Bajarana Mira Vishesha Sundarvari Paschati Deve Hare Krishna. So this morning we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 12th Canto, Chapter 12, I think it is. Chapter 12, the topics of Srimad Bhagavatam summarized. And today we're doing text number 23 and text number 24. So word meanings for text number 23, Sokanyam, the story of Sukanya, Cha and Ata, then, Sarita, Saryate, that of Saryati, Kakutstasya, Kutustasta, Cha and Dimata, who was an intelligent king, Kadvangasha of Kadvanga, Cha and Mandata of Mandata, Sobare of Sobari, Sagarasya of Sagara, Cha and Sokanyam Chata Saryate. Kakutstasya Tadimata. Katvangasya cha mandata. Sorele sagarasya cha. Sokanyam chata sarvete. Kakutstasya cha dhimata. Katvangasya cha mandatu. Sobare sagarasya cha. Sokanyam chata sarite. Kakutasya tadimata. Katvangasya cha mandatu. Sobare sagarasya cha. Translation, the histories of Sukanya, Saryati, the intelligent Kututsta, Kadvanga, Mandata, Sobari, and Sagara are narrated. Text number 24, we can read together. Ramasya Kosalendrasya Charita Kishnapaha Nimiyanga Parityaga Janakanam Sasambhava. Translation. The Bhagavatam narrates the sanctifying pastimes of Lord Ramachandra, the king of Kosala, and also explains how King Nimi abandoned his material body. The appearance of the descendants of King Janaka is also mentioned. Om Agana Timananda Shakananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Prave Namah. So continuing the narration here of the different subject matters which are described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So the question may arise, well, why are certain things mentioned in this summary? Why are they particularly mentioned in this summary? And at least in terms of one of the names mentioned here, Kadbanga Maharaj, I wanted to talk a little bit about some realizations I've had about why his history is listed in this summary of Srimad Bhagavatam. So I'll start with a question. And the question is, you all know the sutra from Vedanta Sutra, Atato Brahma Jignasa, right? Everyone's familiar with that, Atato Brahma Jignasa. So the question is, what does it mean? What does that sutra mean? I can't hear you.
Now is the time to inquire into the absolute truth.
All right. Forgot, Mika? Anybody have any other definition or meaning that comes from that? Keep in mind that Vedanta Sutra is a collection of kernel-like statements. It's very difficult to understand. That's why there's so many different commentaries on Vedanta Sutra to fluff out the meaning of what the sutras mean. They're little capsules, and they contain a lot of meaning. For instance, you've said that Atato Brahma Jignasa means that now is the time to inquire into the Absolute Truth. What does now mean? What does it mean, now is the time? Immediately, that's one meaning. Do it now.
Human
birth is another now. Now that we have a human birth, so that's two. Are there other meanings to we can understand from now is the time?
We could leave our body anytime. So
we could leave our body at any time. We have a human form of life. That's one now, but actually we could die anytime. What do you think? That's another one. Okay, there's different statuses or conditions of life, child, grown up. So whatever one, now is the time, yeah.
I don't know if you mean like always, because it's always now.
Okay, that's good, yeah. It could always mean always inquire. Yeah, you get the idea of what a sutra is, how it can be unpacked in so many ways and give different kinds of meanings, layers of meanings. So yeah, Atato Brahma Jignasa. But I think all of the things you have said have one thing in common when we talk about the now. And that is a kind of urgency, isn't there? There's a kind of urgency to all those circumstances that you may not have this opportunity for long. So better take advantage of it as soon as you possibly can. no matter what one's situation of life. And with that understanding, it makes sense, doesn't it, that Srimad Bhagavatam is in our Sampradaya known, we accept it as the natural commentary on Vedanta Sutra. In other words, Vedanta Sutra is this work that has all these kernel-like statements in them. Does anybody know other ones? Other ones? Dr. Brahmajnasa. I can only think of Sankacharya's. I am that. What is that one? Tattvamasi is another one. Aham Brahmasmi, Soham. These are all like, in the Vedanta Sutra, these kernel-like things. And commentaries on the Vedanta Sutra, which is done by all the different sampradayas and acharyas in Indian philosophy, the subject matter is fluffing out all these things to understand what they mean. And so Atattva Brahmajnasa conveys an urgency. And what's our commentary? Again, I mentioned it. Srimad Bhagavatam is Gaudiya Vaishnava commentary. Well, Govinda Bhashya is there, but prior to Govinda Bhashya, written by Valde Vijibhushan, written by Govindaji, however you want to understand that. Gaudiya Vaishnavas didn't have a commentary on the Vedanta Sutra because they accepted that Srimad Bhagavatam is the natural commentary. So if something is a commentary on Atattva Brahmajnasa, and Atattva Brahmajnasa, as we've concluded, gives a sense of urgency to it, what are some things about Srimad Bhagavatam in general which give an urgency to it and make it a commentary on Atattva Brahmajnasa? What are some things about Srimad Bhagavatam in terms of urgency? It's aiming at the time of death, yeah. But particularly about Srimad Bhagavatam. What's urgent about Srimad Bhagavatam?
Maharaj Pariksit was leaving his body.
Yeah, Maharaj Pariksit, the whole Srimad Bhagavatam is based upon the urgency of Atattva Brahmajnasa to do it now because he only had 7 days to live. He only had 7 days to live. Are there other things about Srimad Bhagavatam where this urgency, we see this urgency? Do it now, yes. Maharaj Katvanga. So why is Maharaj Katvanga on this list? Because it's a summary of Srimad Bhagavatam, and one of the important things about Srimad Bhagavatam is urgency to inquire into absolute truth. And are there any other things that you recall from Srimad Bhagavatam which also feature this kind of urgency? We're going to look at Maharaj Katvanga a little closely, but just before we do that, are there others?
We got one. He was telling the boys, you have to start from now, so something like this.
Yeah, that's the urgency there. He was telling his, don't need that. What did they say? What did the boys say? Not now, Prahlad. We're just 5-year-old boys. We can do that another day. But Prahlad Maharaj didn't accept that. No, now, you have to do it now. So that's one example. We got Maka? Yeah?
When Ajamil was on his deathbed, the Yamadutas came, but just in the nick of time, the Vishnudutas came to save him.
Right. Yeah, so he somehow or another chanted the name of Narayan at the time of death. And even at that time, at the last minute, he would, by chanting, he was saved. So yeah, any other examples of some, the urgency that you have?
Uh,
Yeah, I mean, at the beginning of Kali Yuga, the sages, they understood, well, there's trouble coming, so we should do something immediately about it. And so they gathered in Naimisharanya to perform their sacrifice. So all these things indicate that Srimad Bhagavatam is a commentary on the Vedanta Sutra, Atato Brahmajnanasya, about now we should inquire about the Absolute Truth. And so Kadvanga Maharaj's history is mentioned here in a list, and it's described by in a verse in the second canto, first chapter. And so I'm going to read the translation and purport to that, because it gives us some idea about more idea about this urgency that we need to consider in our lives. So the Sanskrit Katvango Nama Raja Shir Gatveyeta Maha Kusu Ahurta Sarvam Utrija Katavan Avayam Harim. The saintly king Katvanga, after being informed that the duration of his life would be only a moment more, at once freed himself from all material activities and took shelter of the supreme safety, the personality of Godhead. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. A fully responsible man should always be conscious of the prime duty of the present human form of life. The activities to meet the immediate necessities of material life are not everything. We put those things first sometimes, don't we? The immediate necessities of material life. We sometimes put those things first as if they were everything. If we take care of them, then everything will be all right. Unfortunately, that's a misunderstanding, as Prabhupada will explain here. The immediate necessities of material life are not everything. One should always be alert in his duty for attainment of the best situation in the next life. Human life is meant for preparing ourselves for that prime duty. Maharaj Katvanga is mentioned herein as a saintly king because even within the responsibilities of the state management, he was not at all forgetful of the prime duty of life. Such was the case with other Rajarshis, saintly kings like Maharaj Yudhisthira and Maharaj Pariksit. They were all exemplary personalities on account of their being alert and discharging their prime duty. Maharaj Katvanga was invited by the demigods in the higher planets to fight demons. And as a king, he fought the battles to the full satisfaction of the demigods. The demigods, being fully satisfied with him, wanted to give him some benediction for material enjoyment. But Maharaj Katvanga, being very much alert to his prime duty, inquired from the demigods about his remaining duration of life. This means that he was not as anxious to accumulate some material benedictions from the demigods as he was to prepare himself for the next life. He was informed by the demigods, however, that his life would last only a moment longer. The king at once left the heavenly kingdom, which is always full of material enjoyment of the highest standard, and coming down to this earth, took ultimate shelter of the all-safe personality of Godhead. He was successful in his great attempt and achieved liberation. This attempt, even for a moment, by the saintly king was successful because he was always alert to his prime duty. Maharaj Pariksit was thus encouraged by the great Sukadeva Goswami, even though he had only 7 days left in his life to execute the prime duty of hearing the glories of the Lord in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. By the will of the Lord, Maharaj Pariksit instantly met the great Sukadeva Goswami, and thus the great literature of spiritual success left by him is nicely mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So the prime duty of life is more important than the immediate necessities of material life. And Katvanga Maharaj knew this very well. Our godbrother Vaisheshika Prabhu, who was very fond of reading Srimad Bhagavatam, wrote a little blog on Katvanga Maharaj, and he calls it Find Your Katvanga Moment. He's advising all of us that we're not different than Maharaj Katvanga, but we have to find our Katvanga moment so we don't miss it. We have to prepare ourselves for our Katvanga moment so we don't miss it. Vaisheshika Prabhu describes that all of our lives are actually very short. Katvanga Maharaj, he got notice of like in a moment. In the Sanskrit verse, it's muhurta. So muhurta is how long? 24 minutes or something? Huh?
48 minutes.
48 minutes. Okay, so he had 48 minutes. That's what it means as a moment. But we all have just a moment. So he utilized, Katvanga Maharaj utilized that moment to achieve perfection. So we have to find our Katvanga moment, or probably it'll find us before we find it. And we have to be prepared what to do. So Sukadeva Goswami is telling this history of Katvanga Maharaj and Srimad Bhagavatam to inspire us that we can achieve perfection in a moment, but we have to be aware of what our prime duty in life is. Not that we take this to mean that, well, I can achieve perfection in a moment, so I won't do anything until that moment comes. Do you think that will be successful? What's the example Srila Prabhupada gives in that regard, how that won't be successful? I'll give you a hint, it's a bird. He gives the example of a bird. Right? It's not going to be successful if we don't prepare. He says the parrot, you know, the parrot's chant. You can teach a parrot to chant. They'll chant Hare Krishna. But when the cat comes at the time to kill them, what will they do? They'll just squawk. Quack! They won't chant Hare Krishna. So, it's not that we can not prepare ourselves for our Katvanga moment. This purport described, we had the Prabhupada's words, how he did, he was aware of his prime duty throughout his life. And so when his moment came, he was prepared and he chose spiritual life over the material necessities of life. So, how should we prepare? I have a quote from one of my materialistic heroes here, Abraham Lincoln. Do you know what Abraham Lincoln said about preparing for a Katvanga moment in life? It wasn't actually a Katvanga moment. But he said, I will study and prepare myself, and someday my chance will come. So we have to study and prepare ourselves, and in some day, when our Katvanga moment comes, we'll be prepared to take advantage of it, to go back home, back to Godhead. So how do we use our time to prepare? Can anybody say how we use our time, as described in Srimad Bhagavatam? First canto, second chapter, Divinity and Divine Service. Nasta praishu bhadrishu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhakti bhavati naistati. By hearing nityam bhagavata sevaya, by always hearing. This is another one of those aphorisms or kernel-like statements. What does it mean? Always, or nityam, eternally hearing, nityam bhagavata sevaya. What does it mean? How can we understand that a little deeper? It's there in a translation to the verse. By daily attending class on the Srimad Bhagavatam. Isn't it described there? So nityam bhagavata sevaya means what? And we could question, well, what does it mean? How do we do that? Well, it's described there in the translation. By regularly attending classes on the Srimad Bhagavatam. What does regularly mean? Regularly means every day. So if we do this every day, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, that's why it's one of the parts of our morning program. Let's at least save the morning program. Evening program is gone. Let's at least save the morning program. And that's built around Darshan, Sri Sri Radha Shamsundar, and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. If we make that endeavor, and I understand that there are immediate material necessities. I understand that. I have them too. But when are we going to understand that our Katvanga moment is coming and we make a determination to choose beyond the immediate material necessities of life and nityam bhagavata sevaya? That's a question we all have to answer ourselves, because there's one thing about the Katvanga moment is that generally it's you alone, not, you know, we have to face it alone. Prabhupada, in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada describes how everyone has to fly their own plane. You can receive training, but ultimately, when you become a pilot, you have to fly your own plane. So we have to be prepared individually to do that. So prepare. How else can we prepare for our Katvanga moment? Any ideas? Here we go. Regularly chanting, yes. Always chanting. Always having the holy name on our lips. So that's a way that's in one way that Ajamil prepared for his moment, even though he was just calling the name of his son. He was used to saying Narayan, and he got the opportunity. So that's always chanting the holy name. Yes. Any other way? Yes. Following the four regulated principles. Yes. Yes.
Associating with devotees.
Yes, we have that choice as well. Who we associate with. If we're associating with devotees, we're always more likely to be chanting Hare Krishna, hearing from the Shastra, discussing service to the spiritual master and to the deities. Yeah, so association matters. That's how we can prepare ourselves. Abraham Lincoln here says study. So we also can undertake a course of self-study. Especially in ISKCON today, there's so many opportunities to study. I know that you can study online, on telephone. There's so many different groups, reading groups. Use a way to study and prepare oneself. Any other things, anybody?
Like
rising early to, for chanting.
But in general, I mean, the Vedas, it says that if you wake up after the sun comes out, then the duration of life is shortened.
Okay.
So then...
Yeah, okay, so the duration of life is shortened by rising after the sun. And so just simply by rising early, yes, that's there. Anything else? Yes?
Eliminating our exposure to mundane sound vibration.
Protecting ourselves from mundane sound vibration. Yes. Yeah, well, these are all ways in which we can prepare ourselves. And we shouldn't think that they'll be ineffective. And there's a story about a man that was able to lift a full-grown bull. You've seen a full-grown bull here in our pastures right here. There was a man that he was able to lift a full-grown bull. Does anybody have any idea how he was able to do that?
When the bull is small, he lifts it like daily.
Is that what you were going to say, Amara? Yeah, so from the time when the calf was born, every day this man would lift the little calf. So without fail, he did that as the bull grew. And miraculously, he was able to lift the calf. And what's the lesson we learn from that daily practice? We do something regularly, daily, it can result in incredible things being done. What's the example of Srila Prabhupada in this regard? He did something that's basically inconceivable. Well, no one has any idea how Prabhupada used this principle of little drops of water wear away the stone. How does water wear away hard rock? No one has any idea.
This is writing of the Srimad Bhagavatam translated at night?
Yeah, there's writing of his books. He described himself. Prabhupada was traveling the world constantly. He was managing a worldwide society. He was teaching, sharing his teachings with his disciples and others all around the world. And through all of that, he was writing prolifically. How is it possible that one person can do all that? Because he was, as described by his servants who were with him, following the same schedule wherever he went. And he was dedicated to every night translating Srimad Bhagavatam and other Vedic literatures for our benefit. So much so that a tremendous output of literature compared to any author in the history of the world. Tremendous output of such valuable literature. There's no matching anyone. And so he followed this principle every day, doing a little bit, and had such a miraculous effect. So we can also have miraculous results. We can actually live and successfully execute Tato Brahma Jignasa. utilizing this human form of life now, that we have right now, to meet our own Kadvanga moment and successfully go back home, back to Godhead. Actually, it's incomprehensible what we can achieve. But Prabhupada gave us a way to do it by daily taking a little bit and executing it. And if we do that little bit, little bit, little bit, little bit, then we can achieve ultimate success. So that satisfies the urgency that we find in the Vedanta Sutra, Tattva Brahma Jignasa, the urgency we find in Srimad Bhagavatam. And that's why Kadvanga Maharaj, at least one reason why he's on this list of, in the summary of Srimad Bhagavatam. So reflections, comments, questions, anyone has? Forgotten it yet?
Thank you for underlining the urgency that is before all of us. One of the verses today, it spoke of the sanctifying effect of Lord Ram's pastimes. Yesterday we heard some pastimes of Chandra and Brihaspati, etc., etc. And I'm still, a reference was made to Arjuna, who rose above mundane morality and then surrendered to Krishna. Now that seems to be understandable and purifying to hear, because what Arjuna was surrendering to an instruction by Krishna, or a desire of Krishna. But how in these other pastimes is it purifying to hear for us when these individuals weren't, it wasn't like they were following instruction of Krishna and then did those things which appeared immoral. You get my question? I mean, some younger attendees are questioning are those pastimes purifying?
Well, I don't know that I can fully answer that, but I can say that the Shastras enjoin, and it was quoted yesterday, that one shouldn't be anxious to criticize great personalities and their activities. Just like Lord Nityananda Prabhu, it's advised that we not criticize Nityananda Prabhu even if we find him going into the liquor shop. And the reason why we shouldn't criticize is because we can't fully comprehend the motivations that may be being displayed by those persons. And we may make assumptions. This is a problem with conditioned life. We tend to see ourselves as the center of things and the standard by which everything is judged. But we shouldn't be anxious to put ourselves in that position and criticize great personalities. So that's hard for a product of 21st century Western civilization. It's hard for us to put ourselves in that situation. But I think that we have to understand that and accept the instructions of Shastra and try to try to at least approach the subject in that way. I'm not saying that this frees one of all doubts and clears up things and makes everything understandable. Sometimes when Prabhupada was asked questions like this, he would say, he'd respond, "What do you know? You're just like out of your mother's womb." In other words, you're inexperienced and you think that you can understand everything, but what do you really understand? So I think we have to open ourselves to that. And that's our challenge. Even with just pure philosophical understanding, achinta veda veda tattva, our minds can't contain the two things, one with and different from. Our minds, basically, that's why it's achintya, inconceivable. So because it's not conceivable by us, do we reject the philosophical points? Or do we understand that I'm a limited being and my perception of something isn't the all-in-all, end-all and be-all of everything? So, I don't know if that answers your question. Yes?
I was also thinking that the kings, the pastimes of the kings, they're coming from, some are coming from the solar dynasty and some are coming from the moon dynasty. But like I was thinking, she was wondering, well, how, you know, they might not be following and stuff like that, but how, you know, they're here. But I think these personalities are exalted in some way, or there's something to learn from them. And even being a king in Vedic time means a representative of the Supreme. You know, and so by hearing their pastimes, you learn so much from them, you know. But part of the topic of the Bhagavatam itself is the kings in the solar dynasty and the moon dynasty. See? So there's something you can learn there.
Yes.
Just in addition to what Mother Gatnika was asking, we were just in Houston, and I was Radha Raman Maharaj was there, and I had brought this subject matter to Maharaj, and he was explaining. It was interesting. He was talking about the verse, this verse that it describes in the last chapter of the Rasa Dance. And he said that when Maharaj Parikshit asked that question, after Shukdev Goswami was describing the pastimes with Krishna and the gopis, and when Maharaj Parikshit interrupted and asked him that how could the Lord of the Yadus act in such a way, and then the answer was, as I mentioned yesterday, and he gives a whole description about why how the great personalities, their activities are burnt up with the fire of their personalities or whatever. He said that Shukdev Goswami did not appreciate that interruption, that question, and at that stage he's stopped describing the Rasa Dance continuation. He said he didn't speak after that, because even that question was kind of distracting or disturbing to him. So he just described that, and then he continued
in the Srimad Bhagavatam. I thought that was like, yeah. In other words, certainly we, Maharaj Parikshit had that question, we have that question. But then that was how Shukadev Goswami reacted.
I just wanted to mention that another highlight of this verse in Srila Prabhupada's life is this is part of the logo of the Bhaktivedanta Institute, Atato Brahma Jignyasa. This is the logo that he chose for the mission. And Bhakti Saradhara Maharaj actually wanted as a service to Srila Prabhupada to write a modern scientific commentary on the Vedanta Sutra, and he started. So if you see the Savijnanam, the first four volumes is, there's a modern commentary on the first four verses. The attempt was to do the entire Brahma Sutra, but that's, his disciples are kind of trying to do that, but it's not such a simple task. But
another meaning of Atato Brahma Jignyasa. Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about Ragatmika's issue. You know, you were talking about, oh, it's so difficult in the 21st century. I mean, we were raised in religious school. Everything was kind of good and bad. You know, you're saved or you're not. And there's very, I mean, at least my experience, very simplistic moral messages. You're good. Oh, you're bad. Forget it, you know. You're angelic. You know, we used to think you go to heaven, you just sit there and play the harp, you know. It's so simple and pure. But here, you know, the Bhagavatam, I mean, you know, in one sense, you're dealing with very real people dealing with material energy in conditional life, going through their issues. And you know, I mean, someone's an exalted soul, or hospitality, you know, this is, read between the lines, this is like traumatic stuff for these people. And what to speak of the woman involved, you know, the kid and everything else. And Brahma had to mediate ISKCON resolved. So, you know, anyways, you know, there's a lot of complexity there in the Bhagavatam about the human condition, because these people have human consciousness, and there's issues to be drawn out of this. This isn't just like, oh, they're good and they're bad. Oh, we're good too. You know, there's really, you know, you can go deep, endlessly with this stuff, drawing lessons out of it. It's packed. So, yeah, there's a lot of complexity in the Bhagavatam, and I think that's by design. I mean, it's, you know, and We could skim it, or we can dive deep into it.
Thank you. Anything else? Rantara Srimad Bhagavatam.